It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope all is well.
Man, I watched you walk into RGS Exteriors today.
Yep.
And you were floating. So things must have gone very well last night.
All right, so I will, we should probably clarify here a little bit. I should.
Floating. That sounds like he's on some sort of drug.
So I did do the Health Theater Les Mis last night. And you, I know you're going, what, Friday? Thursday,
yep.
Friday?
Yep, Friday.
You know I'm not an emotional guy.
Yeah, I know.
So no tears were shed.
Yeah, didn't cry at your baby's birth.
No. Nope.
Didn't cry at your wedding.
Nope. And not because, again, I didn't want to. It's just... whatever.
It just didn't feel right. Tears didn't feel right.
They're just
you.
Welded shut, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe you were dehydrated.
So no tears were shed, but I'm going to tell you right now, I know that your waterworks can flow pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not want to cry in front of Amanda, probably shouldn't take Amanda.
Okay, so I'm not taking Amanda. I'm planning to take Lloyd. Is it going to be awkward? Lloyd and I together at Les Mis at this production.
Lloyd? Bring some tissues for our guy.
You're not gonna cry. You're not.
Oh really? Because I was in a packed theater on opening night of Les Mis, which I think it was Christmas Day, going back, you know, when they released that. And it's not like Russell Crowe as a singer draws the most emotion. By the way, he was the weak link of that Les Mis.
Yeah.
I actually thought that the guy from what's that actor's name? He was Jean Valjean in this.
Hugh Jackman. Yeah.
I actually thought he was incredibly strong. And I thought Anne Hathaway was incredible. Like, and so it's opening, it's shoulder to shoulder, wall to wall people. And I am crying like a 2-year-old kid that just had his popsicle fall on the ground. Like I'm, you know.
And, yeah.
And everybody could hear me. And there were other men crying, luckily. And that's when Amanda delivered the line, "Get it together."
Did she say it?
Yeah, she did. She did. Okay. She said it. She said, "Get it together." And the guy that was sitting to her right thought that she was mentioning him too, because she was like, "Get it." And he, you know, he tried to sit up and stop the sniffles. But yeah, I mean, if I'm crying at that live performance, I'm going to struggle with.
Yeah, when I walked out, I was laughing, and my wife was like, "Hey, you probably should be laughing," because like 3/4 of the people were like, "Got the big."
You were
red.
Laughing?
Well, it was just funny because everybody
you were laughing,
like
the people crying.
It was just the sheer number of
Scotty,
people.
What are we going to do with you, man?
Well, just like everybody, like 3/4 of the people were like, just kind of wiping
their
face.
It's an emotional show, and it sounds like it was delivered extremely well.
By the way, the cast. Tremendous, and they're from what I can tell, they're mostly locals too. I mean, this is a Utah production.
Okay, so just two grown men sitting together, me and Lloyd sitting together. Is that going to be awkward? Are we going to enjoy this together?
Yeah, I don't think anything's awkward about that at all.
Okay, us
Why
crying.
Are you shaking your head?
Yeah, he's shaking his head. Lloyd,
I think you could tell by my voice.
Lloyd, are you a crier?
You know what? As I've gotten a little older.
By the way, is this legit? Are you really taking Lloyd?
Yeah, I'm planning on it, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I've got to deliver it to Amanda first. I think you should try to take Amanda.
I bet she's gotten a lot better over the years.
By the way, I found a really good sushi place too around there. I'll tell you about during the break.
Oh man, I'm so excited about this. Yeah, Friday at 7:40.
Yep. Now, so here's the thing.
Is that the different cast?
Yeah, you get a different cast. There's like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and a Tuesday, Thursday, which, by the way, I believe Austin Horton's brother is in the Friday
cast. The Friday cast?
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited about it. Big thanks to Scott Brown, owner of Elite Works at EliteWorks.com.
Jeez.
For taking us out.
If we could attach a monetary value to all the things that he's provided.
I know, over the years. Oh, man. He has. He's basically raised me since I was about 19.
But and the 19 thing is, you're the same
yeah.
age.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But, Lloyd, he was much more competent than me.
But, yeah, everybody's really good. The cast was great.
How were the Thénardiers? Master of the house.
They were good. They were really good.
And Marius was strong.
Marius was good. Jean Valjean is just, he was awesome. So, and then the dude, the lieutenant guy, like, or the inspector, I don't know what you call
Valjean.
Him. Yeah, whatever his name is. He was really good. And, but boy, like, I don't know if like, you know, when the play's over and everybody's, you know, going out and doing their bows and, you know, waving to the crowd and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're like supposed to like be in character the whole time. But, like, everybody's smiling and waving, and he's just sitting there like, I hate all of you.
Who? Really?
Yeah, I'm like, wow, is this guy really a pain in the butt? Like,
like he didn't wave?
No, he's just like, like, wow, man. Like, I know you took a header off the bridge, but, like, let's.
I've heard that that's the most incredible part of the show.
That really is. There's a lot of faith in his part. Let's just say that.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I am a huge fan of Les Mis. You and I did a little research. The playwright was written in 1980, but the novel was written in 1886?
Something like that, yeah.
It was written a long time ago, and then they built this play off of it. And to me, it will always be, it's the great of the great. I've been to Phantom of the Opera twice. It's not even close.
Yeah, I'm not, Phantom's fine.
And I've been to a lot of different operas. It blows operas out of the water.
Yeah.
And to me, it for some reason, it still has such a modern-day draw to it. Phantom of the Opera, not really. Operas in general, not really.
Yeah.
But Les Mis is still kind of a modern-day pull. Don't you think? So to you, what was the moment of the moment last night for you? What was the highlight of the show?
Well, I mean, it's hard, you know, where the end, you know, where they're singing him off into the great beyond.
Yeah.
It's hard to, I mean, that's where you're going to feel it.
Okay.
But the One More Day, is that how that, I mean, the power behind that's pretty good.
So there's I Dreamed a Dream.
And then
a little drop of rain.
And then the one where he goes, hi, Jean Valjean. What was,
Bring Him Home.
Bring Him Home. That's,
yeah.
That guy killed it on that.
Yeah, Bring Him Home is fantastic. I think the emotional draws, there are a bunch of them in that show, but the emotional draws for me are A Little Drop of Rain.
Okay.
Was that one good?
I don't remember which one it's. this is the first time I've seen it on stage.
That's when she gets shot and she's dying.
Oh, yeah.
And Marius is holding her.
Yeah, that was fine.
That was just fine?
Yeah, it was fine.
Oh, bro, I just cried like a baby.
I'm starting to cry right now.
Oh, Lloyd, you and I are just going to be a sniffling mess. We're going to have snot bubbles coming down our lip. Just
it's like, hey, he wasn't really that into you. Just
if I
mosey on out of here.
Lloyd, if I see you crying, I'm going to grab your shoulder. I'm going to grab you on the opposite shoulder and just pull you right into my bosom.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time you've pulled me into your bosom.
I know, man. We've had some holding moments over the last 12 years, for sure.
Okay. I think we should probably move on.
Oh, man. It's natural for two men to enjoy a Les Mis together. A little bit of crying, some tears and laughter. I can't wait. I'm excited.
Yeah, you're going to love it. I can't wait to get that phone call from you on your way home and you still being in tears. But it was really funny, like, leaving, and everybody's like,
okay, so does Mama share the same sentiment as you? Like, is she – because you know Amanda doesn't cry. You and Amanda are built the same. I've seen Amanda cry two times in 21
years.
Thankfully
for her case, that's not the case. But, oh, emotionally, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so, from what you say. My wife, the waterworks will run pretty freely.
Okay. Did they – spring a leak yesterday?
I think so.
Okay. Not a girl.
It was. She kept it together, like, after we left. I mean, she wasn't losing it like a lot of people were walking out.
Does she get mad when you laugh in heavy emotional moments?
A little bit, yeah.
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 Because that's the worst for me. Like, it's fine. Amanda doesn't cry, and she thinks I'm a wimp when I do. But what I don't like is when she insults me for it. Like, or when she's laughing and I'm crying, and I'm like, it's so inappropriate for you to laugh right now. And she just thinks it's funny. So don't do that, Scotty. Don't shame her.
No, I wasn't shaming her. I think I was laughing at the other people that, like, because I'm sure she cried a little bit, and then when we were walking out, everything's fine, like it should be. But when you get, you know, 3/4 of the people that were still just letting the waterworks fly out in the, you know, the auditorium, you know, outside the auditorium, it's like, okay, calm down, it's over now.
So I went
You're
to
embarrassing yourself.
I went to that production that Austin put on, and I was like, man, how much fun is this watching Austin up on stage? And I couldn't help but think, me, you, and Lloyd should get involved with a local theater.
No, you did not think that.
Yeah, I do think that. I think the three of us should get involved with some type of local theater. And
are you talking about, like, us acting?
Yeah, on stage. The three of us.
Like, people have heard the one-minute cinema. They know that's not a good idea.
Whoa, actually, I think that could be some of our resume.
Like, hey, director, you know what? Listen to this.
Have you heard our redo of Titanic?
Get out of
I think we put that at the bottom. I don't know if we put that actually on the resume.
I don't know. Like, what kind of play are you thinking of? Like, is there a particular one you think the three of us would be decent at?
Mm-hmm. What if we did, you know, I wouldn't mind us doing a remake of The Outsiders. We might be a little bit too old to be a couple of ruffians. But, you know, maybe we do The Outsiders.
Oh, let me play Ralph Macchio's character, please.
Has that been adapted to stage? The Outsiders?
I think, yeah. Yes, I do believe it has. You want to be Johnny, Lloyd?
Yeah, let me be Johnny.
I'll be Pony Boy. I'd like Scotty to be either Soda Pop or who was Patrick Swayze's?
Johnny's the one gets burned up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me get burned up.
How about Scotty be Dally?
I don't remember the movie that well.
He's the one that freaks out, rips up the magazines, and goes bonkers in the streets.
All right, I'm down.
He was the loose cannon.
That's me. That guy right there.
He didn't cry a lot in the show. I'll be Pony Boy. He was emotional.
Is there a
Johnny
stage?
Was emotional.
Can we
too.
Find a stage adaptation? Find a stage adaptation of Misery. You can be James Caan, and I'll be what's her name?
Annie Wilkes.
Yeah.
You do such a good job with that. You really
Mercy!
Do.
I hate that so much, by the way.
Oh, man. You're brilliant, buddy.
Oh.
Your on-stage presence would be brilliant. Look, if Damian Yanni can do it, you could do it. Damian Yanni was part of Austin Horton's deal. You know, he's the weather guy for Fox.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
For Fox,
that guy.
Fox 13.
He was kind of stiff in that, though. It's like...
In the show?
Yeah.
Oh.
God, I love you.
Needs to loosen up a little bit.
How could you say you don't have acting chops? You delivered that line with passion, man.
Oh, there's no passion there.
Holy All right. cow.
Now it's getting uncomfortable for everybody.
All right.
Is there a two Wong Fu?
The operation was called hobbling.
Could you hear the distress in my voice? I was distressed, broken legs and all, man.
They never ran away.
Henny, please!
You can't tell me that doesn't... come on!
Just one more.
You can't tell me that doesn't have major like power and emotion.
Oh, that gives me chills. I've got goosebumps all over
my
body.
Oh, calm
right
down
now.
Back there.
Come on, Misery made for the stage.
Oh,
Misery's
man.
Return.
All right, let's get to it. Starting lineup, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Presented by University of Utah Health.
Gotta love it!
on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Well, Scotty, obviously the big conversation, the Utah Jazz knocked out of the playoffs. Everybody's talking about what the Utah Jazz need to do. Everybody's got an opinion on it. And obviously there is a lot of conversation that needs to take place over the next few weeks before we get to that NBA draft. But I had a thought yesterday evening. It was just a couple hours after the show. And I don't know exactly where to go with it, but I wanted to share this thought and angle with you. Where Donovan Mitchell is right now in the progression of his career, also where he's at in the progression of his contract. And Rudy Gobert, where he's at in the progression of his career and the progression of his contract. Both of them stand to make a significant increase. Was it close to $20 million between the two of them? About $20 million or so. They're going to take a huge leap.
Yep. Donovan goes from like 5 to 28, something like that.
Okay.
This upcoming season.
So millions and millions of dollars increase with both of those guys. And obviously their games have increased. And this thought came to my mind. I don't know what the Jazz do. And it's not my responsibility to figure it out. I don't have to run the numbers, and I don't have to find the free agents, and I don't have to make the moves. But the one thing that I hope never happens with this team is that they get stuck in the same lull that we've seen the Portland Trailblazers be stuck in with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. I don't care what they do. I just don't want it to be a lull of first and second round exits. Of beautiful moments by playoff Donovan, where he is, I think he's fourth or fifth in NBA postseason play right now in points per game. Whatever they do, just do something. Either fall out and get in the lottery and get yourself back into some of the top picks, or make big moves and try to get yourself in position to capitalize on what years you've got left with Donovan and Rudy Gobert. But don't be Portland, where you feel like things are just going to be different if you keep on and add little pieces. And because Portland is, to me, is, and I know it's not my responsibility to cover Portland, but Portland to me is nauseating, frustrating. If I was in Portland covering that team every year, I'd be pulling my hair out that I've got Damian Lillard, and this is what we do.
It's rinse and repeat.
Rinse and repeat every single year. You're just out of the lottery. You're just in the postseason. You make good postseason plays. Lillard can carry you for a few games. You have excitement, but then you're out.
Yeah. And then it's so I go back to the I keep calling them locker room cleanouts, but they were essentially just end of season reviews. And there was a conversation with Dennis Lindsay and Justin Zanuck. And Justin kind of took the brunt of this answer to the question. And I thought he did a really good job where he talked about, you know, it's – I don't want to say it's not hard, but it's not impossible to quickly go from a 20-win team in the NBA to a 40-win team. You know, go from a 11, you know, seed, even though that seed doesn't exist, to an 8 seed, you know, where you're competing for a playoff spot. But it's really hard in the regular season to go from good to great. And the Jazz have done that. They've gone from a good regular season team to a great regular season team. But
phenomenal
then
phenomenal regular season.
But then there's another level where you go into the playoffs, and to go from a good to a great to a championship level team in the NBA playoffs. And that's where the Jazz are at right now, where they just can't seem, you know, whether it was injuries or whatever the case was, they couldn't make that next step to being a championship-level team in the NBA playoffs. So the question is, what do you have to do? Well, you're right. If you're Portland, you're like, hey, let's just run it back, and we'll get them next year. And then the next year, okay, let's run it back, and let's do it next year. And that can be nauseating, and that's complacency. Or you can do what Daryl Morey tried to do in Houston and really try to make some rampant changes, and that blew up in his face.
Yeah.
To the point where now he's in Philadelphia.
But what a scientific experiment that was.
Exactly. So I would if I'm going to go down, I'd rather go down that way.
Yeah.
Than I would just
go down being innovative, risky, all those things.
Now, to your point, I don't know what those moves are.
And that's why I started the way I started.
And I don't know if you like, and like we mentioned this yesterday on the show too, when we talk about things, I think everything needs to be discussed by the Jazz, even if it's a 15-second conversation when you're like, okay, well, that's a stupid idea. Forget that. Like talking about, okay, is Rudy in our long-term plans? Is Donovan, you know, that stock on him is never higher. Could we parlay that into something? You know, like there's a lot of things that need to be on the table for the Jazz in their quest of being a champion. Now, look, those two options of trading one of those two guys is probably idiotic and should be shelved immediately. But it's okay to talk about it, and it's okay to discuss it, to talk about, okay, what do we need to do to take those next steps?
I think it's okay to talk about it. You talked about the leap. You just talked about the leap, and it was crazy to me to think that the Phoenix Suns in a given year are where they're at.
Yeah, yep.
You know, you were talking about going 20 to 40. I don't know what the Suns were in the regular season last year, but I know that it was basement dwelling.
Well, they got into the bubble, and then they went undefeated in the bubble, but still that wasn't enough to make up the ground to get into the playoffs.
It was really bad. So they got into the bubble. Oh, that's right, because the bubble was kind of a play-in style into the bubble. What'd they take, three extra or four extra? Was it four extra? Was it the top 12?
Yeah, I
12?
Think so, top four or five, somewhere like that.
And now, watching last night, without Chris Paul, you're watching the two young superstars in Ayton and Booker do what they do. Now, Booker dealt with a pretty serious injury. One of those things that you see in the world of basketball, and it's rare, you see a guy go to the ground and there's actual damage. Booker dealt with a lot of pain. But what Ayton did was fantastic. And then watching Payne pick up the slack for Chris Paul and put up 29 points and 9 assists was incredible.
Yeah.
But I'm watching the Phoenix Suns and taking that jump, and they're doing it with two young superstars two young stars and an added superstar in Chris Paul. Chris Paul not currently on the court. But like I said, I it's not my job to have to figure this out. But watching Phoenix do what they're doing, it makes me think. And watching Portland continue to beat their head against the same wall, I just think whatever the Jazz do, I hope it's innovative. I hope that it's a stretch. I hope that it's creative. And I hope that they're able to turn some production out of whatever they do.
Yeah, I agree. Just getting started. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. We're live here at RGS, and Kurt's hanging out with us. Really excited because, look, this is a time of year where there's a lot of things going on. You know, you even have an opportunity now to get those heat cables in, those rain gutters, instead of waiting until December to do something like that. But there's really not a lot you guys can't do to the outside of a house right now.
No, we're pretty much turnkey. We've been kind of developing that model for the last, I guess, 15 years. We have a pretty broad reach where we started as a business, and now as we get out to people's homes, the guys that are meeting with homeowners have a lot of experience, so they can look not just at one little part of your house, but they want to see how that interacts with every other part of your house, and that's kind of the benefit of having our people out, and is that we can help you figure out what you need, which you're not thinking about, which heat cables is nobody's thinking about that right now.
How you been, Kurt?
I'm
busy.
Really busy.
Good.
Yeah, we're trying to figure things out. You know, it's interesting as I sit and watch you guys do your thing, how comfortable you are and how automatic it feels and how at ease you are. That's what we try to achieve internally for us, is that everything that we do is automatic. And so we try to figure out how everybody talks to each other, how the departments talk to each other, and how we communicate some of the craziness that's going on right now with industries and construction in general. Can't get materials. You can't get your product. There's delays everywhere. So that is really where we're putting a lot of our time and focus in.
To make sure that people can get those materials and get those things taken care of as quickly as they can, for sure. So what I was going to talk to you about was I had found a material, an exterior material, and I had talked to Tim about it. And Tim said, I don't know if I've seen that exterior. Tim went through and did some research, and he actually found the material. It's a faux log look.
Okay.
And it's a compressed kind of faux log look. He found it. He found it for the cheapest price. he was able to kind of build a quote around it and help me understand what the design on the exterior would look like. I want people to know, whatever your idea is for the exterior of your home, bring it to Kurt, bring it to Tim, bring it to the crew at RGS. You guys, if you don't know it, which most of the time you know it, not only do you know it, you're experts in it. You guys are going to find the best product that is the most relatable, the most affordable, and the most common sense. And I love that about you.
And we do. We have our specialty. Obviously, we're James Hardy Pros.
Yep.
That's where our business model is kind of built around. But there are other products out there that are really, really cool, like what you're talking about. And the relationships that we have with our dealers and the distributors, they will go out and search for this information for us. They'll get us in touch with the manufacturer reps. And we don't just try to shoot from the hip and say, we can figure it out.
Right.
If we're going to do it, we're going to make sure we're doing it exactly to the manufacturer specifications so that it's done right and it's going to last a long time. So we're going to take some time, which sometimes people are a little impatient with. But the biggest thing for us is we do want you to feel comfortable with not only what you're buying, how it's going to be installed, and then it's going to last a long time. That's what our estimators that go out do. They specialize in doing that.
It's real simple. You got to take advantage of this. Go to rgsutahsiding.com. Preferred siding contractor at James Hardy, brick, stone, stucco, whatever you need them to do, they'll make it happen for you. But go to rgsutahsiding.com right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Win, win, win.
It's a win ticket Wednesday on the Zone Sports Network. It's a win ticket Wednesday right here.
Win.
Listen all day for the win ticket Wednesday sounder for your chance to win tickets.
What? Who authorized that?
To all the biggest concerts, games, and other great events here in the state of Utah. It's a Win Ticket Wednesday right here.
Right here.
Right here.
Right here.
Woo!
On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Gerard. Hope you're all having a tremendous day. Somebody tweeted in that thought that we could do, apparently The Little Mermaid is coming in next year. We will not be a part of that.
Nope. No.
Sorry.
I could be I could be the octopus lady. What's her name? I want to say Cruella, but I don't think it's Cruella.
No, Ursula.
Ursula.
Yes.
I could be Ursula.
Well, you're not going to want to see that if we are involved with that. But if you do want to get your vision back in check, Davis Vision Summer LASIK sale is going on right now. Get rid of those contacts and glasses. Save $1,000. Start your road to better vision at Davis Vision. Check them out online, davisvisionmd.com, or call them today, 801-253-2080. It's 801-253-2080. All right, Hans, we talked a little bit about the Jazz trying to regroup and try to figure out what's going to happen. And the question, you know, the thing is, with the salary cap the way that it is, and the Jazz up against it, and with you mentioned Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert expected to get monumental raises going into the next season, this was the two-year window for the Jazz, these last 2 years. And just unable to get over the hump in those 2 years. Now Mike Conley's $34 million comes off the books, and you're looking at a situation now where the Jazz gave big raises to guys that deserved every penny of those raises. I'm not disparaging them in any way, shape, or form, but it really clamps down on the flexibility you have to try to get something done.
What's funny is how willing Jazz fans are to spend other people's money. They're just like, well, just go out and get it.
Yeah.
And here's Ryan Smith, the new Jazz owner, is like, okay, we're in an interesting situation here. This luxury tax is costing me. This is expensive. And I've got a second round exit to show for it.
Well, you were over last year, and you're going to be over again next year. So,
yeah. And
you want to be a repeater?
A repeater tax really starts to add up faster, these guys. And yeah, it does feel okay for me to spend somebody else's money. Like, as an analyst, I can sit here and be like, Well, I just think it's time for Jazz ownership to step up and make a commitment to this team. And, you know, if it costs you $40 or $50 million extra in the long run, you'll bring it back. But the problem is you can't guarantee anything.
Back in the day when Larry H. Miller used to do those weekly interviews, I sat in on one. Somebody's on vacation. And I asked him that, like, what's it like when you hear people talk about how to spend your money? And he's like, well, you know, it's their right as a fan. He goes, I just look at it now as numbers on a spreadsheet. Yeah. Like, I can't think of it as actual dollars. I just, because there was one off season where he spent like a quarter of $1 billion on signings and re-signings and extensions. And it's when AK got his big, you know, albatross of a contract extension.
And he probably knew at that point he wasn't building an NBA championship team.
And that's the hard part, too, is when you sign somebody and you realize, okay, well, this, I mean, I've got to spend money on somebody and I can't get the one player I want or the player we need, but this guy will help us stay relevant and keep us good, but it's not going to get us over the hump. That's got to be the tough ones. And you see those every year.
See, I thought, going back, whatever it was, maybe it's 8 years ago, 10 years ago, when Prokhorov bought the Nets and just came in and spent and said, I don't care what the tax is. It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to get every player that I can. Now, he just went about it the wrong way. He put together the wrong team. But he went in just spending as much as he could spend, as much as he needed to spend to put together a roster, and it yielded him nothing.
Yeah.
He had nothing to show for it. And that's got to be the most difficult thing. Ryan Smith comes across to me as an incredibly intelligent businessman. And I don't care if it is the Utah Jazz and the NBA. I've got to imagine he wants some return of on his investment.
Yeah. I think he's happy to spend money. He just wants to see.
He wants to see the production.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't think the second-round exit this year maxed out what he believed this team had capabilities of doing. I think it was a quicker exit than he probably expected, considering the regular season record, the one seed, the home court advantage, and everything that went along with it. Probably a little bit of a letdown and a disappointment. If you put truth serum in him, would be my guess. And I try to put myself in ownership shoes, which is a really weird thing to do, because the backlogs that they understand and know, the depth of rosters and salaries and the way it all works, I know it goes way beyond what I would know. But if this was my team and I was spending money on it, I'd be disappointed with that exit.
So, and we've touched on this last couple of days, and I think – Dennis Lindsay and Justin Zanuck and everybody else in that Jazz front office, they have to ask themselves one big question. If we're healthy, are we playing for an NBA championship? If, and I thought you said this great earlier on Monday, if the hamstring isn't a problem, Donovan Mitchell's ankle doesn't get injured, are the Jazz playing the Phoenix Suns right now in the Western Conference Finals and have an opportunity to win that series and move on? Are the Jazz the best team in the NBA, or, you know, one of two of the best teams in the NBA if healthy? If you are and you feel that way and you said we just had bad luck, that's what knocked us out of the Western Conference semifinals, then you try to bring everybody back and make another run at this thing and maybe tweak some things here and there. But if you're like, hey, look, yeah, they were injured, but we saw some fundamental flaws with guys that couldn't stay in front of dudes. Royce O'Neal played great, but Joe Ingles did not. Jordan Clarkson, great offensively, but is a liability on the defensive side. We need to address these issues, and we need to fix this, and then get everybody else healthy and make the next step. Mm-hmm. You have to ask yourself that, because right now you've got a team that, outside of Mike Conley, you can bring back and try to make another run at this thing and then go and then pay that money in the luxury tax for Mike Conley, realizing that when if he stays healthy and Donovan stays healthy, we're right there.
I think that, first of all, I think that front office is all going to answer with a resounding yes. I think every man across the board would be like, yeah, I believe if Mount Mike's on the court, it's a different story.
Yeah,
we're still in this thing. We're facing the Suns without Chris Paul for these first two games. They might have got a win against the Suns without Chris Paul on the court. There's a good chance because they'd had a home court.
Yep.
So I think that they could look at each other, and I think they can honestly answer yes with that. And I know that that is no consolation for Jazz fans, and Jazz fans, that doesn't help them feel better. They don't want to hear, well, if they were healthy, because that's a bunch of what-ifs. But we're talking about on the business end side, business side of things. They have to ask these questions. And I think that the answer to that would be yes. I think that they would all say yes. I think that with Mike Conley healthy and without Donovan hobbled, yes. Now, here's the interesting thing. I don't think that the West window is closed, because I don't think we'll ever see a LeBron James on my shoulders, take him to a championship, do everything myself if I have to type performance from LeBron again. I think that that window's closed. I think he's going to be more injury prone. I think that he's going to wear down faster. I don't think that he's going to have a 7-game push in him for a playoff series where I don't know. Anthony Davis is dealing with his groin again, and Kyle Kuzma's missing everything he's putting up, and you're having to rotate Crusoe in and rely on him as a guard, and he can't carry that anymore.
Yeah.
He's not the where's LeBron? East or West? Well, it's LeBron's East or it's LeBron's West. That's not LeBron anymore. The Clippers with Kawhi, and where Kawhi is, that's gonna be something you gotta pay attention to. The Suns are going to remain good because Booker is getting a lot of confidence. Obviously, Denver with this year's NBA MVP is going to be good. But nobody comes across to me as a Michael Jordan or a young LeBron James.
No.
So I think that the West window will remain open. And it's just thinking to yourself, all right, well, how close were we? And if they can answer that, then maybe they do take the steps to get a near full return.
Yeah.
If they can do that.
Conley's a big question. And there's obviously some concerns there on how he impacts the luxury tax. And number one, I think David Locke mentioned this yesterday, does he want to come back? You know, sometimes you kind of assume that they do want to come back. But the question is, does he want to come back? And if he does.
Speaking about Mike Conley?
Mike Conley, yeah. And then if he does.
What does your gut tell you?
I think he does.
See, my gut tells me he does.
Because I think he'd like the locker room.
Yep.
And I think that he realizes that this team, outside of maybe a two or three others, gives him the best chance to win. And so the question he's got to ask himself is, what's the number? Because if Dennis Lindsay comes in like, look, I can't give you 20. I can give you a 2 for 15 with a player, 15 each year, or 2 for 30 with a player option in year 3. That's all I got for you. It's still a heck of a lot of money. You've made a ton of money in your career. So
let me, I'm going to back up my statement with, I believe that he does, with just a couple of thoughts here. I believe he does want to return. If it was an option, an opportunity, if it was comparable money or slightly better, or, you know, right there in the gap, I think he would return. Because Scotty, this year, he went 41.2% from three. He'd had two other seasons in his, you know, what is it, 12 seasons? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. In his 14 seasons as a pro athlete, he's had two other seasons above 40. He had a 40.6% his second year in the league with 2.6 attempts per game. And he had a 40.7% going back to the 2016 season with 6.1 attempts per game. He shot 41.2% with 6.6 attempts per game this year. So if I'm Mike Conley, I'm thinking about my game. Like, first of all, how much is on my shoulder? When I've got Donovan Mitchell, who's taking the bulk of the backcourt responsibility, and I've got Rudy Gobert, who's backing me up defensively, I can become a catch and shoot. I can become a pick and roll. I can become a facilitator, and I can extend my career.
Yeah.
If I can sit outside and take shots, and that's what you're expecting from me, give you the defense that you need, I might be able to extend my career. Secondly, I'm looking at the team's stats. I'm looking at number one in regular season win-loss category. I'm looking at my team stats. We broke records. If I'm Mike Conley, I'm thinking, we broke records. And we're just scratching the surface. If I can come back with Donovan Mitchell and I can be back out there with Rudy and I've got, and maybe they surround me with one or two more shooters and Bojan Bogdanović doesn't take 2 weeks, 3 weeks of the regular season to get healthy and feel better about that wrist. Like in my mind, I'm thinking there's a lot of what ifs, man. And I felt like I had a lot of success with this team and this roster. I can't imagine him thinking otherwise.
Well, that'd be my thought. But, you know, if you got a team like Brooklyn who comes calling or maybe the Clippers or, you know, a team that.
Yeah, there would be some out there that it might pique your interest. Like, yeah. Okay, I'm going to ring chase. He's going into his 15th year next year.
And he deserves, you know, the man deserves a ring. I wouldn't blame him one bit if he's ring chasing. I just think you can ring chase with the Utah Jazz. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. What you may have missed coming up next.
The Big Show.
The Big Show.
With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Coach Kalani Sitake with us. What are you looking for in a starting quarterback? Is there some connective tissue there with players that have had success in your experience?
A lot of the things that you look for in a guy that can help you win games, and I feel like we have three really good ones. They're going to have to figure out who's going to be the starter because it's going to come down to whoever earns it. That's the only way I can find.
The Big Show.
The Big Show.
With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Coach Kalani Sitake with us. What are you looking for in a starting quarterback? Is there some connective tissue there with players that have had success in your experience?
A lot of the things that you look for in a guy that can help you win games, and I feel like we have three really good ones. They're going to have to figure out who's going to be the starter because it's going to come down to whoever earns it. That's the only way I can function as a head coach is to give the starting job to the guy that deserves it. So we're going to go with that in mind, and they know I feel really comfortable with them. A-Rod does. The whole coaching staff feels comfortable, and the team feels comfortable with those guys, and I'm really looking forward to them competing, getting better, and with the competition, hopefully all three get better, but hopefully one of them would definitely stand out and then take that starting spot.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7, presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust, on 97.5 1280 The Zone in The Zone Sports Network.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Live here at RGS Exteriors. Tell you what.
How about Paul George looking like Ben Simmons last night?
Of course he does. Of course he did.
Could you imagine, Scotty, the pressures standing at a line. You're up by one. I can't remember. What was there? Just under a second left? When he missed the two free throws? Oh, or was there? No, there was close to 10 seconds?
Let's see here.
When he missed the two?
Yeah. I think it was 8 seconds left.
8 seconds, okay. Yeah. 8 seconds left. Oh, man. Okay, put yourself on a free throw line. You're up by one. You got two looks at the basket. And you're in a pretty hostile environment. It's not as easy as people think. Like, when an NBA player misses two, I'm not like overcome with like this, I can't believe a professional athlete would miss those, because those things happen. In those crazy moments, those things happen. Now, they happen more often for Ben Simmons than for Paul George, but.
So you're a little bit more kinder than I am.
I know. I know that you expect those to knock
well,
down.
I just look, if you're like Shaquille O'Neal, or you're a 65% free throw shooter, like you're a garbage free throw shooter anyway. I get it.
Go 1-on-1.
Go 1-for-1 or 1-for-2 or whatever the case is. Yeah. I get that because that's who you are. But when you're an 80, like Paul George, what is he? Like an 88, 87% free throw shooter?
Yeah.
And you go 0-for-2? Uh-uh.
In that moment?
That's not okay.
Yeah. In a closeout moment.
One in the Jazz series.
Oh. What did you say, Lloyd?
I said, I don't know if he missed one in the Jazz series.
Well, of course
I don't remember.
He didn't. Of course he didn't. Nothing went wrong for them. especially in those final games. But Paul George misses those with 8 seconds left. Okay, so I want to kind of walk people through this Phoenix Suns win, because this final play was...
By the way, Paul George, 87% free throw shooter.
Oh, man. This final play was just absolutely incredible. From the inbound pass, the screen that was set by Devin Booker, whoever it was that... that set the screen on, why is the big man, why is his name?
Zubac. Yeah.
And grabbed his jersey and caused that slight delay. It was all just phenomenal. Like the Jay Crowder inbounds. And I want people to understand, when DeAndre Ayton gets that and puts it down, you saw a couple people calling for offensive interference. And you have no offensive interference.
Nope, there's
on an inbound.
No goaltend. There's no offensive goaltend. I mean, there's none of that on an inbound.
None of that on an inbound. So it was an impressive draw up, an incredible play, perfectly executed. I know that the Clippers have to be expecting some of that, and they've got to be prepared and try to stop it. But that's a really tough play to stop when it's executed that perfectly.
And also, there's a lot of belly aching going on. And look, if it happened to the Jazz, I think a lot of people would be upset, and we'd bring it up as well. But I think we'd also be smart enough to bring up the fact that you're never going to get that call at that time of game. Like, the illegal screens and all the stuff that people are upset about, they're not calling that. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people were calling for a call on Zubac, or at least wanting them to look at that, and that's probably not going to happen.
By the way, props to Jay Crowder, though. That was not an easy pass to make from the angle he was throwing it at.
Yeah.
That easily could have got off the side of the standard.
Yep.
But
caught the corner.
But threw that about as well as he could. And, in fact, I think I was more impressed with the pass than I was the dunk itself.
Sure. The pass was incredible.
Yeah.
The drop was awesome. You know, the drop of the play, watching all four line up across the free throw line. And just the movement of everybody. That's what people in the world of team sports, people got to understand. In order for something incredible to happen with 0.9 seconds left, whether it's football, basketball, or any other organized team sport, these plays are drawn up so that if they're executed, it's extremely difficult to defend. If they're executed, extremely difficult to defend. But what's crazy is there's typically a leak. And then a lot of times there's just an exceptional performance by the opposing team to stop something. But in a moment like that, in the play drawn up like that, it was perfect execution by the five on the court for Phoenix with 0.9 seconds left. And there's not much the Clippers could have done. They could have lucked into it. Jay Crowder could have hit off the corner of the standard.
Yeah.
DeAndre Ayton, maybe it overshoots his fingers. He can't get his tips on it to bring it down. Maybe Booker misses that screen set. They don't get enough of a grab on Zubac. He's able to rotate over. But when you draw up something that perfect, man, that was a classic. That was just. Did you see that coming? I thought it was going to be a quick catch and shoot. Because 0.9, you still have time to get it in your hands and
catch
shoot.
Catch, yeah.
Yep.
I kind of thought that was going to be because you see a lot of
the angle. You talked about the angle.
The angle was just ridiculous.
I didn't think they could make that pass from that angle.
How about Jay Crowder, man, former Jazz man, doing his thing again?
Yeah. So we're talking, you know, we're sitting here like, well, what can the Utah Jazz do? And I'm watching the Phoenix Suns last night, and I'm like, so all of a sudden Jay Crowder becomes a country. Okay. That's nice. Good for Phoenix.
11 o'clock straight up right here on the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, as we are live here at RGS. And, you know, that's the thing. A lot of people have, Hans, over the pandemic era, have been spending a little bit more time at home. And they've realized what they like about their house, but also what they don't like about their house. And there is no time better than the present to try to address some of the issues that might be around your house.
Think about it, man. It's the quickest way to up your value. The other thing, Scotty, think about all the people out there that maybe went out to shop a new home, and maybe they're like, well, I'm kind of tired of this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go look at a new place. Now is not the time to get out of a home and get into a home.
No.
Now is the time to hunker down and make where you're at your home, your new home.
You may make a ton of money on the sale of your house.
Yeah.
But now your problem is you have to go find one to buy.
It's all relevant.
So good luck with that.
It's all just, you know, it's going to be difficult to find the house that you're looking for. So why don't you just make the house that you're looking for the house that you're currently in? And you could do that with RGS Exterior. You know, they can come in and they can completely redesign the exterior look of your home, and they can give you that curb appeal you're looking for. And also the functionality. You know, if your gutters aren't working the right way,
yeah.
If your siding is starting to crack or bend or fold, if your soffit or fascia is falling apart, like, you can rebuild it all.
Yeah, Greg can help you with that right now, too. How you doing?
What's up, good. Greg?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
I'm doing well. Good to catch up with you. The boss man's out of town, so you guys can have some fun a little bit, right?
Yep, sounds like it.
Does more work get done when Tim's gone?
Or less.
Or does it less?
No more work gets done. Yeah. Are about the same.
About the same?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll tell you, Greg, I'll tell you, over the years, just hanging out with you guys and watching what you do for our listeners and watching what you do for your customers, it's as high quality as you can possibly find in the exterior building aspect of building.
Oh, yeah. We take pride in the work we do. And, I mean, just yesterday we had a company meeting in here, and that's focus of our topic for the meeting was making sure that when – we're out on a job site, we're presenting ourselves, and we're giving those customers exactly what they're expecting, good quality work that when they step back that they can be proud of and be happy with.
You know, there's a couple of things I think are really important to know. Obviously, we talk about the stucco and everything else, but I'm a huge fan because of, I don't know, where I'm at and where I live, and then also in terms of the shape of my house. I get ice dams. The first year I was there, it was a problem, and it scared us pretty good. And we got some quality heat tape in there, and we did it right, and it's not a problem. You've got to address that. And sometimes now's the best time, because if you start thinking about it in November, it's too late.
Absolutely. We get that every fall. People go, I need to take care of our gutters. If you look at it right now and get us out there now, well, we can see the trees, the leaves you've got around there. We can actually see what it is you're dealing with. We can get you a system designed and installed before you have those issues. So this fall when it freezes and water's coming in, you turn it on and you're taken care of.
Yeah.
People love to wait until the people right now. It's like 105. Why am I worried about ice dams?
Yes, it's exactly
right. How about right now is probably the best time to start to look at what caused you problems early fall last year,
yeah,
into the winter last year, and get those things taken care of.
Yeah, we try and advertise heavily at this time of the year to get us in there to get it taken care of, because when it, you know, all the summer fun's over and kids are back in school and everything's back into normal, everybody else has already scheduled it, so you're going to be a while before we can get out there and get you taken care of. So get it done now, and, yeah, get ahead of the curve.
Let's make it happen and get it taken care of right now. As we're live here at RGS Exteriors, go to RGSUtahSiding.com. That's RGSUtahSiding.com. 5 generations, 9-time best of state winner. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.